AK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and a hearing today in the deportations case. The judge who halted deportation flights to review President Trump's use of wartime act wants more information.
An attorney for the ACLU, which has brought this case, said if the president's power isn't checked, Trump could claim gangs from other countries have invaded the U.S. and then start deporting more people without hearings. It's a prospect Judge James Boasberg called awfully frightening, adding that President Trump's use of the Alien Enemies Act seems to him an unprecedented use of a law that's only previously been invoked in times of declared war. The administration argues court shouldn't be able to tie the president's hands as he uses this power.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. In London, some flights are resuming at Heathrow Airport. That after a fire nearby knocked out power today, bringing flights to a standstill. The cause is unknown. Authorities say they don't suspect foul play. And another round of volatile storms taking aim in the South and Midwest this weekend. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging residents to order native plants for their gardens to help support the state's pollinators. According to a press release, native plant sales are popping up across the state through June, with plants of all sizes, shapes, and colors to give residents plenty of options. In addition to looking great, plants like Joe Pye Weed can provide an excellent habitat for birds, butterflies, and bees. A full list of native plant sales can be found on the Department of Natural Resources website. Amid harsh debate on Thursday, Republicans in the Wisconsin State Assembly approved four bills restricting the rights of transgender kids in the state. Two of the bills would restrict trans kids from joining women's sports teams from kindergarten through college. One would bar minors from accessing gender-affirming care, and the other would not allow students to use a different name or pronouns without permission from their parents. Governor Tony Evers has already promised to veto any bills he sees as targeting the LGBTQ+ community. A Washburn County nonprofit has launched a new program to help seniors and adults with disabilities access transportation services. The Neighbor to Neighbor organization's new program utilizes volunteers with their own vehicles to transport people who can't drive themselves around the area. Participants in the program can use the service to get to medical appointments, attend community events, or just go shopping at local businesses for free. The service is primarily funded by donations, and driving volunteers are thoroughly vetted. Duluth International Airport officials are reminding residents of planned infrastructure investments after a University of Minnesota report detailing the airport's importance to the local economy. According to the report, the airport generates $1.4 billion for the local economy each year and supports over 4,000 jobs. Officials will invest nearly $150 million over 5 years, including replacing the third oldest air traffic control tower in the country. They say the investments will be more than paid back by the economic benefits of the airport. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
More March Madness. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the NCAA tournament, continues tonight in Cleveland with the Marquette Golden Eagles against the New Mexico Lobos. Tip-off time at 6:25. The Badgers will play Brigham Young tomorrow night in Denver at 6:25. Wisconsin beating the Montana Grizzlies 85-66. Head coach Greg Gard able to give all of his guys some playing time, including Carter Gilmore. 8 points, 6 rebounds.
Our bench has been one of our strengths throughout the year. We've gotten great contributions off it. You saw Amos tonight. McGee's done that throughout the year. Janicki's done it at times. And then obviously Gilmore.
NBA, the Bucks rolled over the Lakers in L.A. last night, 118-89. Their road trip continues tomorrow night in Sacramento against the Kings. Women's college hockey, number one ranked Wisconsin against Minnesota tonight in the semifinals of the Frozen Four. The winner advancing to the championship Sunday at the Ritter Arena in Minneapolis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mostly clear sky tonight, a low in the mid-teens. Sun to start Saturday, then some clouds for the afternoon, a high in the low 40s. Rain moving in Sunday, the wind picks up, high in the mid-40s, rain to snow in the late afternoon and evening.
It's 46 right now.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease. I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will take a look at our NCAA basketball brackets after weekend number one. Also, the news of the weekend. Get you caught up. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Mayer on Air.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can be a part on this gorgeous Friday, 855-752-4842. Jess P.S. working hard on the board. James Santel, my co-host for this hour, host of his own show, Amicus, a law review right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. Jim, thanks for sticking around, man. Always fun. And I know we got so much. This is so much. And we only have so much time. We also end the show by telling us something good. But I'm going to start out by something good because I'm hearing Bernie Sanders and AOC out on the road. And you know, I've been lamenting, and a lot of us have. What's going on? Who's doing what? Who can we look to for leadership in these times, these troubled times? Always love me some Bernie Sanders, and starting me to love me more some AOC. So indulge me if you will. Bernie and AOC out on tour, like Nevada and Arizona. They're going around having these discussions. A few short clips from Bernie and then one from AOC. And then we will move on to other topics. But I got to get this out there because it's been something that's been bothering me all week long. So if you would, please, just you did the hard work. Thank you so much. Let's start with Bernie Sanders.
Sure. This is his message to Trump. Quite simple.
We will not allow you to move this country into an oligarchy.
Not any further to an oligarchy. Come on, Bernie. Let's keep going. Cut number two, please.
People like Musk spending $270 million to elect Trump as president and then becoming the most important person in government. Does anybody think that has anything to do with a democratic form of society?
Oh, hell no, it doesn't. That's why it is one of the reasons it is so offensive. Let's talk about Social Security. Also, a couple of headlines regarding Social Security. From Drudge Report, Social Security Commissioner threatens to shut down agency. The Commerce Secretary. Only fraudsters would complain about a missed Social Security check. Those are the top of the line.
Excuse me?
The Drudge Report. Yeah, I know. But here is Bernie Sanders, Senator Sanders, out on tour. The kicking oligarchy's ass tour. talking about Social Security. Cut number three, please, Jess.
And they're going after Social Security. Some of you may have heard Trump talking about all of these millions of people, 200 years of age, getting Social Security. It's a lie. I know you will be shocked to hear that he lied.
Yeah, it's a lie. It's a lie. He continues to lie. One more from Bernie Sanders. Please cut number four.
So we are going to fight Trump and his oligarchic friends. We're going to take on their effort to move us to an authoritarian society. But we have got to do something else. We have got to ourselves have a vision for the kind of country we want to become.
Yes, absolutely, Bernie. And I'm not sure that vision is emanating from the leadership in the Senate. Let's go there. AOC up next. Perhaps Perhaps you can help articulate that vision for us. Just a little bit longer cut here from AOC, the promise Americans make to one another. Let's hear it, please.
This is coming from their appearance in Arizona.
Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security were promises that we as a people have made to each other about the kind of country we are and the kind of society we want to live in. And I don't know about you, Arizona, but I want to live in an America that guarantees health care to every person. I want to live in an America that has a living wage for every person. I want to live in America where you have free speech to express yourself and not be afraid of getting put on a list or deported. But these promises that we've made, they are not promises from politicians to the people, or they're not charity from billionaires to everyday Americans. They are promises we have made to each other. Neighbor to neighbor, friend to friend, teacher to student, family member to family member, that we want to live in a society that is not depraved, not every person for themselves, but all of us standing together. This is the promise that we make to each other as Americans.
AOC, I got to tell you, love that. Love the passion. I love the content. I love the delivery. And the promise, bringing community and bringing commitment into the conversation, to Bernie's points, I think that is certainly important as far as messaging is concerned. Jim, your thoughts?
Absolutely. And again, not always to put a legal cast on things, but what AOC is talking about is a contract, right, with a small c. It's a social contract. It's a moral contract. It's a human rights contract that, yes, indeed, established by the Congress, but nonetheless, where does Congress come from? That's us. Those are the people. And she's talking about this agreement, this contract that has been made decades ago, into which many people have now contributed billions of dollars, quite literally, and cannot breach that social contract. That's what she's talking about. As to Bernie, again, 83 years old. And note as well to what I think is your implicit, if not explicit, point, Dom, where the Democrats, remember again, Bernie Sanders is not a card-carrying Democrat, right? Nope. He ran for the presidency on the ticket, but he is still, again, from his home state, obviously, but 83 years old and is the advocate now. And as the Stop Oligarchy tour began, my recollection is he said, I was holding back for a few weeks just to see if what the Democrats would do, who would step forward. And he said, no one did, at least not with the volume and the ferocity that he has taken on. And so he is stepping forward, a non-Democrat, an independent. He's not a Republican, certainly, but an independent in America voices. And that also speaks to who we should be. This should not be a political issue. It should not be a partisan issue. Regrettably, it does take leadership. And I think to your point, where is that voice of solid Democratic leadership? And that's what he's also bemoaning by doing this. He's in Colorado today, a number of visits there, same kinds of themes, huge crowds. This is not a matter of a man going out there and not finding a group of people who want to hear him.
Yeah.
This is just the opposite. America is responding to this. Where are the Democrats who should be out there in every single state saying and articulating those same important contract messages with each other?
I'm not sure they all necessarily, number one, have the ability to connect with people like Bernie and AOC do, number one. Number two, you know, everyone's got different motivations. And I gotta bring up this vote in the Senate, man. Chuck Schumer, you know, leading the Dems, is that what we're calling it? You know, joining with the Republicans and getting nothing for it. And a couple of things I take problems with, and I know it's already said and done, but I think it goes to the point of why people are so angry right now. Before this most current continuing resolution, we were working on the last continuing resolution, right? Mm-hmm. And what has Donald Trump, what have they done to that? Well, they pissed all over. They want nothing to do with it. They're not honoring the last continuing resolution. So why would you engage another continuing resolution with disinterested and nefarious parties? Number one, they're already not doing it. So what gives you any confidence they're going to follow this continuing resolutions? If you're worried about this, you know, fighting right now politically, every day you move closer to the midterm elections. If they would have held firm, if they would have challenged the Republicans to at least come up with something, offer me something instead of nothing, any political damage would probably have been forgotten by the time the midterms run around, if you're looking at it from a political calendar. Of course, they needed those Democrats, and they came, and they got nothing for it. Zero, zilch, nada. That's not leadership. That's not deal-making. That's acquiescing. Who to blame? Short-term gain, a pain, long-term gain. What are the Republicans always saying? Oh, it's going to hurt for a while. Well, there you go, Republicans. If they don't come to try to earn Chuck Schumer's vote and their lack of action, their lack of deal-making causes that short-term pain of government getting shut down, well, who's gonna own that? The Republicans would own that. I saw some polling prior to that vote. Most people, it wasn't overwhelming, but most people would put the blame for a shutdown on the Republicans. Come on, man. They got a mandate, right? And finally, it would own the news cycle, man. It would own the news cycle. Everything would be on the government shutting down. That would be the conversation every single day. Now it's free. Now it's wide open, man. They don't have to worry about that hanging over their head. Hell, they can have Doge go to the Pentagon. They can do whatever the hell they want because they don't have to worry about the repercussions of their lack of action, their lack of deal-making with the Dems. And Schumer just gave it away. And I know the Raging Cajun came out recently and says, well, maybe there's some long-term wisdom to this. Well, that cat was right on one thing like 30 years ago, and he's been going to that same party ever since. Sorry if I don't buy that. So, man, no, Chuck Schumer, man, you got to go. Where's he at? I'm not in the Senate. I don't know, but damn, I it looks to me like they gave away everything and got nothing for it. Jim, sorry for the rant. What do you think?
The rant is on point. And again, recall that this particular deal was put together, the budget, which again, you know, it is stunning beyond just the immediacy that we don't have a budget in this nation, right? Congress is completely failing. Your points could not be better stated. Just historically, when these things have happened, I have lived through several of them. I've administered offices when indeed the government is shut down. It is uncomfortable, but it sends a message. And when you come out at the far end, politically, things I did not get involved in, you've got some benefit to having done that. What if you had held out at least for a couple more days over the weekend into the following week? And then, as you say, send a message to America. Send a message to those people showing up in Colorado today with AOC and with Bernie who want some pushback on this. Here's what we're doing for you. And again, to your very important point, here is what we've gotten out of this. And we've also gotten perhaps some agreement about the ways in which we are going to, even resolutions about what the president is and is not doing. We're going to reaffirm this notion that indeed Congress has a role to play, a big one, the big one, when it comes to money in America.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is James Santel. He's sticking around for the entire hour. You can join us as well, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let's talk about the cases, specifically these deportation cases and how the judge is dressing down the Department of Justice. You know, that crap hole you used to work for, Jim. Man, really gone downhill since you left, man. And also, these law firms, man, this Paul Weiss law firm. Man, is this extortion? They get an executive order, they give up $40 million in pro bono? I'll take that money. Come back with us.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I'm Sheriff Todd Scarbin with an important message. Law enforcement teams from across Wisconsin work extremely hard to keep you safe, especially from violent crime. When liberal judges refuse to actually punish violent criminals, it undermines the entire criminal justice system. Some liberal judges, like Susan Crawford, do just that, and her record proves it. Crawford gave 4 years to a guy who sexually assaulted a 6-year-old. She gave 2 years to a guy who beat up his girlfriend and also shot a man. and Crawford gave only 90 days for a guy who brutally beat and strangled a woman. We need a Supreme Court judge who will make public safety a top priority, who will interpret the rule of law in a firm but fair manner, and will not legislate from the bench. More than 80 sheriffs agree liberal Judge Susan Crawford would make it harder for us to keep you safe.
Call Susan Crawford at 608-266-4231 and tell her to stop releasing dangerous criminals. Paid for by WMC Issues Mobilization Council.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Winter is out and winning is in. It's our Break into Spring statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. Your daily shot at a Chula Vista getaway, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, or $100 cash. And every entry gets you closer to the grand prize, a brand new Verlo Queen mattress set complete with a mattress, sheets, protector, and pillows. Download the Civic Media app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Choose your station, then get set to win starting Monday, March 24th. It's time to break into spring with WLAK.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
I am through with this, because I am more than this. I promise to myself, alone and no one else. My flame is rising higher. I am the fire. I am burning brighter, roaring like a sun. And I am the one.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. We are the one you've been waiting for. 855-752-4842. 855-75-Civic. Got Jeff P.S. on the board in the tunes. Man, I love it. You rock, girl. And James Santel, host of Amicus, a law review right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. Thank you, Jim. We got some callers. Let's get to them before we get into this administration's struggles in the federal court. Wisco Paul, you are up. Happy Friday, my friend. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Great show today. Basically, in my words, Schumer laid on the ground with his you-know-what in the air, and there was no fight. We needed a fight here. It was time to fight, and he didn't do it. And I think he'll be gone down the road here. The old guard of the Democratic Party, and this includes our last president, Biden, Schumer, they're playing by different rules, the old rules.
Yeah.
They don't apply anymore. And my question, Jim, right now, it seems like the courts are fighting back, which is good, I hope. Do you think they're going to be able to hold? Because really, Trump controls a lot of the agencies himself, and he's trying to prove that he can do whatever he wants. But it is my hope the courts will hold. And what's your opinion on that, Jim? And you guys have a great weekend.
Oh, thank you, Wisco. Appreciate it, man. Jim, your thoughts?
Paul, thanks for that comment. Right now, it is the federal district court judges who are the guardrails against what we're seeing in America. And again, to a person, almost to a judge in particular, there have been a couple here and there, but they go off on real small technicalities. Almost every single judge who's addressing any of these things, including the Musk team's access, for example, the Social Security Administration, all these kinds of things that are out there. USAID fund, it goes on and on. We know them. They're too numerous almost to list. Almost all of them are the guardrails right now. And why is that? Well, it's because, in part, they've got lifetime tenure, right? And they've been appointed, again, by Democrats and Republicans alike. This is across the board. These judges are saying, no, the Constitution says that if you're born in America, you are indeed a citizen. That is not a question that we need to figure out anymore. They're saying that. They are the guardrail. Paul, the question, the issue that you raise is what happens as these things go up to the courts of appeals. There are certainly courts of appeals that will uphold those kinds of things. And then we get to the Supreme Court, which is the big one, right? And we know, as Dom indicated early in this very broadcast, concerns about what would happen there We know I seem to do it every single time I'm with Dom and Jess on this wonderful show, reciting once again what John Roberts told us back in July, 8 months ago. He is the one. He is the one who put all of this in place by saying we need to have a strong, a vital, a nimble, can't have a feeble executive, can't have feeble government. You need to be able to respond quickly and decisively. And Donald Trump has done just that. Now, it may well be, and we'll talk about it, I believe, in just a couple of minutes, maybe that John Roberts is having some buyer's remorse here. He has pushed back a little bit this week, not very much. But right now, I think you're right. And thank goodness for federal judges saying, no, you cannot do this. And we're approaching very much a, again, the words, but the phrase bandied about way too much, constitutional crisis, if in fact our president continues to say, as he has done, I don't care. I'm not doing what you're telling me to do. That's when we no longer have Madisonian answers to this. And that's when the nation truly is, republic is in jeopardy, as Sonia Sotomayor said.
Folks, this is the Dom Salvi Show. That is James Santel. Let's talk about this case. Reuters are reporting that this judge who blocked Trump's administration from deporting alleged Venezuelan gang members under a 1798 law said government lawyers have been intemperate and disrespectful in court filings. I mean, yeah, you think? But let's talk about this, Jim. The premise that they are using 1798 law, well, we're not at war, so isn't that right off the bat? BS, bunk, right? We're not in wartime. It's not invasion. There's no war. Congress has to declare war. You can't just do it. Can't have a police action. Nixon, Trump, Bush, whatever. Let's talk about this, Jim. Where do you stand on this case right now? And how do you think the judge is responding?
Sure. The judge, once again, his name is James Boasberg. He is the chief judge. He's the chief trial court judge in Washington, D.C. He is once again exhibiting, from my perspective, an awful lot of patience. Remember, this began a week ago tomorrow when these planes were in the air and the judge orally from the bench said, call them back, bring them back here and get on the phone and bring them back here. He has been attempting for this past week to try to figure out whether or not your Department of Justice, my government, violated his directive to bring those planes back. And he still doesn't have an answer. There's a hearing again this afternoon. No readouts on that yet. But he has been very patient. And my play on this is, again, that the alien law that is being invoked here is nice try, creative Department of Justice, but not going to get you anywhere here. Now there's also this notion, well, maybe these are state secrets. And maybe we need to raise that one. That one comes up fairly late this week. The judge is patience is waning when he says to you that you're woefully insufficient. The government has evaded its obligations. Those are not good words. And here is where this should end up, candidly. If indeed someone inside the government knew about this order, was told to bring those planes back, it did not, then you issue in what's called an order to show cause. You find someone in contempt. And you know what the penalty for contempt is? Somebody spends some time behind bars, quite literally. And maybe that's the response that the guardrails right now district court judges need to do. Maybe it may or may not be a secretary around the cabinet level table, but maybe somebody who's responsible for this, who was out there talking this way, needs to be jailed as a way of saying, no, you do in fact follow what the courts are saying, and you do in fact follow what I said. Don't you dare think about disobeying my orders.
Folks, are listening to the Dom Salvi Show. Come back with us. James Santel, Jess P.S., your calls, 855-752-4842. According to the Washington Post, the judge said the government must decide by Tuesday whether it would be invoking the state secrets privilege and demanded the government submit a sworn declaration that there are ongoing cabinet-level discussions on whether to do so. Friday morning before the hearing, Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche complied with that request. Further, the government has separately appealed Boasberg's temporary restraining order blocking the use of the Alien Enemies Act to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, which has scheduled oral arguments on the matter for Monday. Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A recent report released by Insurify found that Wisconsin drivers have the second highest rate of receiving speeding tickets in the country. According to the report, nearly 8% of drivers in the state have at least one speeding ticket on their record, trailing only North Dakota at nearly 9%. Experts say the data may not be a commentary on drivers in the state as much as targeted enforcement efforts conducted by law enforcement authorities. They also say the state's roads are generally kept in good condition, which could contribute to speeding. A proposal meant to help farmers keep sandhill cranes from destroying their crops can now be brought up in the Wisconsin State Legislature. The proposal would allow farmers to receive financial assistance for purchasing a bird repellent called Avapel. According to State Representative Paul Tittle, the repellent is a seed coating that supposedly spoils the taste of the seeds for the sandhill cranes, which would drive them away from other crops. The proposal would also allow farmers to apply for crop damage funding because of the troublesome birds. One of the largest firearm manufacturers in the United States will be relocating their entire manufacturing operation to Wisconsin. Henry Repeating Arms plans to relocate to a newly expanded state-of-the-art headquarters in Rice Lake with two additional facilities in Ladysmith. Company officials say they're also working on opening up a third facility in Ladysmith over the summer. Their current manufacturing operations are run out of Bayonne, New Jersey. Officials say the transition will allow them to increase production and improve collaboration. The Barron County Board of Supervisors authorized nearly $5 million to replace the roofs of two UW-Eau Claire-Barron County buildings and acquire new technology for the Sheriff's Department. The county board debated how to fund part of the projects on Monday, with some arguing they should use about $350,000 of American Rescue Plan Act funding to lower future interest costs. Others argued using ARPA funding would essentially be using short-term money on long-term assets amid uncertainty with federal funding sources. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. After well over a year of hype surrounding the show Severance, I finally had to check it out. 40 minutes into episode 1 of season 1, I had more questions than answers, but the pilot closed strong. Despite being a slow starter, the sci-fi mystery about a group of office workers who discover that their work memories and personal life memories have been surgically separated is a critic's darling, pulling a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. I will have more information as I continue the binge. The premiere date for season 2 of The Last of Us is right around the corner. Recently, it was revealed that series co-lead Bella Ramsey was diagnosed with autism. Making the story even more interesting was that it was a crew member on the set whose daughter has autism who suggested Ramsey get tested while season 1 was still being shot. Ramsey says they believe this will help them as an actor, as they have always been someone who watches and studies people. Season 2 of The Last of Us drops April 13th on Max. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mostly clear sky tonight, a low in the mid-teens. Sun to start Saturday, then some clouds for the afternoon, a high in the low 40s. Rain moving in Sunday, the wind picks up, high in the mid-40s, rain to snow in the late afternoon and evening. Right now it's 45.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Barry Mack, you were supposed to be on the show about 3 weeks ago, but I got really sick. Like, I slept on a mattress that you might have driven to the dump.
Still like last time, I am actively smuggling in mattresses from Minnesota because they recycle them for free.
You should probably keep that on the download.
Well, yeah, but how am I going to get any business unless I start talking about it, Pete?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk to the Economics Department Chair at UW-Eau Claire about the hit Wisconsin's going to take in Donald Trump's trade war.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvi Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75 Civic Just PS on the board. James Santel, host of Amicus, a law review. Check his fine show out on Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 a.m. Sticking around for the next two segments, of course, the final segment of the day, folks. Tell us something good. It's Friday. Tell us something good. Then we'll get to your questions and comments as well. We're talking about the Trump administration use of this Aliens Enemies Act to justify these deportation planes to El Salvador that carried Venezuelans. I mean, call me crazy, but okay. A little bit more on the reporting here, Jim. And then we have some sound of Attorney General Pam Bondi. I want to play that. And then we'll get your thoughts, Counselor. The administration.
Always good to hear from Pam, by the way. Always good to hear from her.
She's on Fox News a lot, man. I'm just saying. That job must be pretty cush. The administration said in court filings that the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement investigated each migrant sent to El Salvador to verify their alleged ties to the Tren de Aruga gang. Aruga? Arugula? Robert Cena, the acting ICE field director in Harlingen, Texas, acknowledged that, quote, many of those deported under the act do not have criminal records in the United States, but that does not indicate that they pose a limited threat. So
what are they basing the threat on?
Probably dark skin and tattoos.
I mean, terrifying. I mean,
obviously.
Well, I mean, I saw the one guy had a soccer tattoo.
Oh, my God. It's terrible.
And just it may well be that they're basing this on that precedent from during World War II, one of three times this was invoked, when we imprisoned in the western states of this nation citizens of the United States because their ancestry happened to be Japanese. Mm-hmm. Karamatsu, Supreme Court endorses that. That's the precedent that we're now relying upon with respect to these Venezuelan immigrants.
Right. One of the most shameful chapters of American history.
The AG, she's got something to say on this topic. I'm sure it's going to be great. Let's hear it.
Sure. This is on the authority of that federal judge. Yes.
How will you respond at the Department of Justice?
Well, our lawyers are working on this. We will answer appropriately. But what I will tell you is this judge has no right to ask those questions. You have one unelected federal judge trying to control foreign policies, trying to control the Alien Enemies Act, which they have no business presiding over. And there are 261 reasons why Americans are safer now. That's because those people are out of this country. The judge had no business, no power to do what he did. And Will, he came in on an emergency basis on a Saturday with very, very short notice, if any, to our attorney to run in the courtroom. You know, and this has been a pattern with these liberal judges. You just spoke about that. It's been a pattern with what they've been doing. This judge had no right to do that. They're meddling in foreign affairs.
I mean, if you're literally putting people domestically on planes and sending them places, that seems domestic to me. Jim, lots to unpack there. What do you think is most important?
Where do we start? This is not the most important, but I cannot help comment. My attorney general is serving as my attorney general 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Saturdays and Sunday for U.S. attorneys, too. You enforce the law, or in this case, you do not enforce the law. But that's a small point that somehow we've got our vacation time
Saturday,
and this judge interrupted that, right?
Oh, you know?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Simply wrong. An unelected federal judge. No, all federal judges are unelected. They're all appointed, Madam Attorney General. Does she have the authority to interpret the law? Yes, that's the early part of the 19th century when the Supreme Court said it is decidedly the purview of the courts to decide what the law is. No business presiding over this. Of course there is. When you have people who are present in the United States of America, you do not have to be a citizen. You are entitled to the protections of our Constitution. I can go on and on with the things that are completely wrong with what my attorney general has said this past week. And I was prompted once again, and I'm going to pursue this, to figure out where she went to law school. It happens to be a place called Stetson Law School. It's in the Panhandle. It's in Gulfport, Florida. And I would ask some member of the media to go to the dean, go to the provost, and say, This is what the attorney general said. Is this what you are teaching at this law school? And if you are, by the way, we need to talk to the accreditation people at the American Bar Association. This is so fundamentally wrong. Again, it is cynical. I know I've used that term multiple times this afternoon. It is cynical because she thinks that just by saying he's got no power, no jurisdiction, can't do it on a Saturday, and this particular law cannot be reviewed by a court, that somehow people will believe that. All of that is completely wrong. How about this, Madam Attorney General? We disagree with the judge in his interpretation of the law, and we're going to argue that with him. We're going to argue that to the Court of Appeals, but we're not saying that he's got no business doing this. This is, once again, Donald Trump, a page from his book that simply says, federal judges, as his border czar has said, we don't care what they say. We're going to do whatever we want. And now my attorney general is saying that. Look in vain for any attorney general, including Merrick Garland, including previous attorneys general, who would say something like this with a straight face. They never said it at all. It is shameful, once again, that the chief federal law enforcement officer would articulate these fundamentally not only inaccurate, but misleading and deceptive things to the American public.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvi Show. That's James Santel, 855-752-4842. He's a former U.S. attorney. He has an educated opinion on these matters. Concluding from the Washington Post, in all, opponents have filed more than 130 lawsuits against Trump's executive orders and other actions. Federal judges have issued about three dozen injunctions, while the administration has won favorable rulings in a little more than a dozen cases. So there we go. 855-752-4842. Let's get to some of our callers. CJ, you are up. Happy Friday, CJ. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Dom. And, you know, Mr. Santel used to take my call. I try calling him on Saturdays, but
all right. CJ, you haven't called in months. We were waiting for you. Call me tomorrow. We'll
all right, come on, man. What you got, man? You're always lamenting the lack of something, something. State your business, well, sir.
Well, you wanted something positive. It's 77 in April today.
Okay, man.
but here's the thing, you know, amicus means impartial, and I rarely hear both sides of the issue. Because there's only one party fighting to keep Venezuelan terrorists in our country, fighting.
No, hang on, CJ. But here's the point. Here's the point. University you're wrong. Let me tell you why you're wrong. If I may interject, and I'll let you go. No, I'll let you go. But here's, you can't say Venezuelan terrorists, right? Because they haven't been convicted of anything. Most of them don't even have criminal records, CJ. So, how do you know they're Venezuelan terrorists other than you're repeating the same thing this administration is saying? Don't people have a right, man? I mean, what if the next administration comes in and says, hey, CJ, he's a terrorist. I'm shipping him out somewhere. Shouldn't you have right to due process?
Well, I believe that the DOJ will do that. But there's only one party that's fighting to keep them in America.
No, you're wrong, dude. You're absolutely wrong. What they're fighting for is due process, CJ. Do you understand that? I would want you to have the same due process. You can't just be taking people off the street, shove them on a plane, saying they're X, Y, or Z, and just claiming that's what it is. You don't even know if there's any American citizens on there, dude. We don't know. They've admitted. They have admitted that some of them don't even have criminal records, CJ. So, you know, be careful what you wish for. Next time it might be you.
You didn't care what the 21 million that broke into our country.
Broke,
you don't care that they're identified. Now all of a sudden you care, Dom.
Now all of a sudden I care. What I care about is having a government, CJ, that doesn't pull people off the street and send them to a different country of their origin, to one of the most notorious prisons in the world. Man, because
CJ,
you know what? That CJ, could be you.
Right. And CJ, what Judge Boasberg is doing is precisely what Dom said. I'm not concurring with him just because he's right, but he happens to be right about this. Judge Boasberg has said there is a challenge to the action of the government under this particular law. Under our rule of law principles, I, the federal judge, have an obligation to entertain that challenge. I am trying to figure out whether or not the government has violated the law, violated the Constitution, violated due process. He has not made any determination, in part because now we're going on the seventh day and the United States Department of Justice has failed to answer five fundamental questions. Things like, when did the plane leave? Who was on the plane? Where did the plane land? What was the exact timing of this? That's what the judge is wrestling to figure out. And again, the Department of Justice, up until this afternoon, has not given him the answers that he has needed to ensure that whatever his decision is, and it hasn't been made yet, maybe he's going to find that indeed the law was followed here, that he didn't have jurisdiction somehow. You have to rely upon the process to get to a good result. And that's the frustration with what's going on right now.
And they're not answering because presumably the answers would inform right. the judge that they acted in against his order, right? Right. I mean, and here's, what happens then, Jim?
Here's the other piece of this. And again, I myself, in 30 years of prosecuting and defending cases, civil litigation, criminal litigation, if a judge looks at me, CJ, and says to me, Mr. Santel, I want you to answer these questions, and he's not asking about atomic theory or relativity. He's asking for something that can be on a list, names of people who are being treated at the VA, names of individuals who are involved in a particular search. I go back to my office right away and I say, I need to get that information. The things the judge is looking for, CJ, are within the knowledge right now, and they've been there for a week. And the Department of Justice, presumably because, as Tom just said, the information once revealed will indicate that indeed, again, we don't know this for sure, but that the decision to send those planes out took place after the judge from the bench said, keep those planes on the ground. That's contempt. And that is also part of the system that, CJ, you would embrace too, because that's a part of our due process system.
I'm not sure anyone would really care if someone shipped CJ off to El Salvador in prisons, but I would fight for you, man. Maybe a little bit. I'll pick up a phone call and make a call. We'll see. Let's text somebody. 855-752-4842. Jim, let's get to this executive order. The president went after three law firms that he deems as enemies. And this one, Paul Weiss, they acquiesce. They apparently are going to, provide $40 million worth of pro bono services. Extortion! Blah, 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 to Donald Trump for various things. 2 minutes left in this segment, Jim. What the hell, dude?
Right, right. Again, Paul Weiss is not a small law firm. This is big law, capital B, capital L, just so all our listeners understand that. And in particular, there's a fellow named Mark Pomerantz. He's a former prosecutor. What did he do? He previously oversaw that a Manhattan DA's investigation in Donald Trump's alleged financial crimes. And that's why Mark Pomerantz's name sticks in Donald Trump's craw. That's why, like as he's done with the other law firms, the president issues this order saying you can't come into federal buildings, shutting you down. The law firm comes back and again acquiesces, capitulates to Donald Trump and says, no. Again, we'll provide you $40 million. You got the number just right there. And oh, by the way, this I find stunning as a part of bowing to this threat. The firm acknowledges that Pomerantz had done something wrong.
What?
I would be very interested to know exactly what it is that the law firm, again, this big law firm, Paul Weiss Rifkin, and others that are out there, what exactly did he do other than fulfill his duties to pursue investigations as a prosecutor? Stunning, stunning.
Throwing the guy under the bus, short-term gain for long-term pain? I mean, what does this say about the industry in general? I mean, we know they're going after the lawyers. We know we're going after the media, right? They're just on all. They're going after everything, all the time. Everything, all the time, man. It's like an Eagles song around here. Folks, come back with us. Tell us something good. 855-752-4842. Our last segment of the day, of the week. Let's end it with a smile on our face.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government
Buy-in for the people. A Washington state audit of rejected 2020 mail-in ballots offers insight on whose ballots are more likely to be rejected and recommends actions to reduce that number, over 37,000 in 2024. Primary reasons for rejection include ballots received or postmarked after Election Day, a missing signature on a ballot envelope, or the voter's signature couldn't be confirmed. Auditors found 2020 rates varied from a high of 1.5% in Franklin County to 0.02% in Columbia County, but they also found higher rejections of younger voters, 18 to 21, where 2.6% of ballots were rejected, and black voters at 2.5%. They also found that non-native English speakers were 47% more likely to have ballots rejected. Signature issues can often be cured, but many voters don't or can't correct it. The auditors recommended outreach programs on college campuses, sending letters and calling voters with curable signature issues, more training on signature verification, opening early voting centers 18 days before the election, an advisory committee for disabled voters, and ballot drop boxes for every 15,000 voters. In the 2024 general election, Washington's statewide rejection rate had dropped to 0.94%, but of those, over 24,000 were rejected for a mismatched signature. Find a link to the audit at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Slip away, because your baby. It's so far away.
Well, there's a rose in a misted blood, and an eagle flies with the dove. And if you can't be with the one you love, honey, love the one you're with, love the one you're with.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Love the one you're with. I love all of you. James Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, broadcasting right here on the Civic Media Radio Network Saturdays. That's tomorrow, 9 to 11 a.m. Got Just PS on the board. And we'd like to wrap the day up with something good. And we'll get to some topics if we have some extra time. But Just, you want to lead the way today?
Sure. Okay, so this is a slightly silly one. But that's okay. That's how we do it.
It's all right.
Here.
It's going to be serious.
So whenever I get a fast food sandwich, I love pickles. And I like to have like a good solid layer of pickles.
Oh, all right.
So when I'm going through the drive-thru, I like to word it as such. Can you please give me as many pickles as possible? Or may I please have a ridiculous number of pickles? And Burger King did me right.
Oh, nice.
They did me right. Got my impossible Whopper
with
a solid, hefty layer of pickles. And it brought me such deep joy. It was really something good.
Whoppers are a fine burger.
Oh my god!
Now,
when they came out with the Impossible Whopper, I was so thrilled.
This is healthy.
Oh my
for
god!
Me.
Well, I don't really eat red meat.
Yeah.
So
you get your fix.
So I get my fix.
Yeah.
It's just, oh my god, it's so good.
Oh, so good. I love so pickles. Good. I do like the bread and butter.
And
Jess,
has this gone back to the time of your youth? Also, did you always like pickles?
Was absolutely. Since I was a little kid, one of my favorite snacks was just go to the fridge, grab the jar of pickles and a fork, and just go off.
Go after it. James, you got anything good you want to share with us?
I do. So in the past couple of weeks, whenever we've talked about something good, I've always gone back to Washington, D.C. to find something there that is good, and indeed not breaking that trend today. It is that time when right around the pool there and just adjacent to the Lincoln Memorial, the cherry blossoms are now in full bloom. It's the Yoshino cherry trees on the tidal basin there. And again, a little history here, given to the U.S. by Japan about 100 years ago, symbolizing the country's friendship and our cultural connections. You can go to Washington, D.C. right now and participate in the Hanami, which is a Japanese word for flower viewing. And you can also attend other things right there on the shore, on the crest, on the side of the tidal basin, celebrating this wonderful thing about international relations, the positive things that come back from that, even in the form of trees that continue to blossom there this week in Washington, D.C.
That's lovely.
That is lovely. We'll go visit those lovely trees before Trump cuts them down and put some American trees there.
Yeah, make some furniture out of it.
855-752-4842. John, he's calling in. He's got something good. Welcome, John. Happy Friday. What do you got for us?
Yeah, there's something good for our country. It's the fact that we haven't had a crisis that tested out the character of our commander-in-chief. So it's not like the Kennedy or the Johnson or the Nixon troubles. He's got nothing on his plate.
Well, he's creating his own problems, man. So that's the crisis that we have. But you have a good point. To date, we haven't had anything terrible happen. And that will keep our fingers crossed. John, great observation. Thank you for that. Yeah, if it's a good day, keep it going, folks. You never know. All right, so I told you yesterday my good and the bad, right? My bad was I finished all my peanut butter.
Indeed.
My Girl Scout peanut butter sandwiches.
Right.
But the good news was I had those peanut butter patties left, the chocolate covered ones.
Yeah, and you sent me a picture of the box that any left.
Oh, there's a few left. I only had two last night, 11:30, because that was necessary. But then I had two chocolate chip cookies also. But that's beside the point. Never shouldn't eat before you go to bed. Weird dreams and all that.
Especially sugar.
Another bad and good. The bad, of course, was that I didn't get to hang out with Jim in studio today. We're remote, and I always appreciate you coming around, even on the video screen, Jim. So that was a bad thing. The good thing was Jim didn't bring treats in for me today to keep me fat. You're so grateful, man. Every time you come in, you bring in some Gloriosos treats, man. And even you sneak around, you stick them in the studio before we even get in here. I'm like, what is that? And then I got to eat it because, of course, I'm Italian and someone gets you food. You appreciate it. I love it. Oh, my God, man.
Jim gives you no opportunity to say no to the treats.
Right.
He basically sets it down in front of you with your name written on it. And if you try to say no to it, it's like you're just rejecting him outright.
And I can't do that.
You would be offending me if you did not take my treats. Absolutely. And oh, by the way, just check the refrigerator in the office space before you go. There just might be something there. I'm not saying
okay,
even remotely.
Aye.
Oh man, so yeah, that's I do love my sweets, so
especially the cookies.
But I know you gave me some grief on the peanut bread and butter pickles. You don't like the sweet pickles?
No.
They got to be the
salty. Salty pickles. They can be dill pickles, they can be garlic pickles, or they can be spicy pickles. I don't like them sweet.
There is a plethora of pickle flavors
that
available. I mean, a couple of years ago, my cousin had sent me a bunch of jars of pickles. It was for Christmas. I'm like, oh my God, they're good. And they were so good. There's so many kinds of different pickles.
God,
I know pickles are great. Thank you, James Santel, for coming around as always, man. I know we got left a lot on the cutting room floor, but we'll get to it perhaps next week. And folks, you can check out Jim's show tomorrow. It's called Amicus, a Law Review. It broadcasts right here on the Civic Media Radio Network from 9 to 11 a.m. doing deep dives into many of these topics. Check it out. Jess P.S., thank you so much for all that you do. Another great week. Thank you so much. And you folks out there, have a wonderful weekend. And stick around. Pete Schwab of the Nightlight is coming up next. We'll see you on the radio Monday.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we've got Angela Lang from Block here as our co-host for the day. Also, Representative Darren B. Madison, and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served?
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with a VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Demonstrators staged a sit-in outside the Education Department today in D.C., now facing closure. President Trump outlined his plans to move key programs to other departments. Here's ABC's Selena Wang.
As the president has been trying to dismantle the Department of Education, he and his administration have been trying to reassure the American public that the critical functions of the federal agency are not going away, that they will be preserved. So the president giving a little bit more detail about how that would work. The student loan program, he said that would be going to the Small Business Administration. He said special needs programs, nutrition programs, that would be going to the Department of Health and Human Services.
In London, flights have resumed at Heathrow Airport after a fire nearby closed facilities earlier, leaving tens of thousands of travelers in limbo at the major European hub. Authorities don't suspect foul play. Wall Street closing the week on a positive note, stocks posting modest gains. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.